Could we turn to page 231? We probably should stand. 231. God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away, though I cannot tell you how. It is mine. Blessed be his name. Not in this book. Gail has it in another book at home, but I know Debbie knows it, and it sounds like some of you others know it, and it's kind of fun to do that. So one of these days we're going to do this, and we're going to get you up here to do that.
It is mine this priceless part. Treasure ever. That's all there is.
It is mine this
priceless treasure ever.
Yeah, but it's the timing of all of that. That's what makes it the fun part, is getting the timing right. Hallelujah. It is mine. I love this. This is a neat song. God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Do you feel his peace? Do you have his peace right now? You know, if you don't, raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Because he's the peace giver. He is the peacemaker. He's the peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. Hallelujah. He has taken all my doubts and fears away, though I cannot tell you how. That's the beauty of it. I mean, he just takes them. We get so fretful and so worried and discouraged and just so down sometimes. And then we just turn our eyes and our hearts and we just look on his face. And like the storm when he was walking on the water, he got into the boat. He says, peace, be still. The waves quit. The wind quit. peace be still. And he'll do that to the storms in our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's do the last verse again. Hallelujah. Let's do it a little quicker now. Oh, the love of God is comforting my soul, for his love is mine. Yes, his love is mine. Waves of joy and gladness for my spirit grow, thrilling me with life divine. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. One more time. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to page 217. Hallelujah. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Hallelujah. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing on Calvary. Mercy that was great and grace was free. Pardon that was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till He is the Lord forever.
shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him.
Be seated.
Wrong song. Hallelujah.
White as snow, white as snow, though my sins were as scarlet, Lord. Faith in you, I know that I can.
Said he would never leave us comfortless, but he said he would send another comforter. I like that, another comforter. That tells me he's a comforter. He said he'd send us another comforter, and that's called the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for not leaving us comfortless, but sending us your Spirit. Hallelujah. Can we turn to 307? Blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.
The blood. From day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows
Church is dismissed. We'll take some prayer requests. We'll do that during the communion service. So we want to move right into the Word of God today. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Would you please? Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin reading with verse 1. This is a difficult passage doctrinally, so we're going to look at it inspirationally today. Matthew chapter 25, entitled the message, Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, and Something Blue. Matthew chapter 25, we'll begin with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. I pray that we would all be ready for the trumpet call. We would all be ready to hear the voice of the archangel. Lord, as you come back for your own, I pray today if there is anybody here that is not ready, that before they leave here this morning, they would have oil in their lamps, and they would be ready to meet the bridegroom, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the story about the bride who was extremely nervous on her wedding day? She confided to her pastor She said, "Pastor, I just don't think I'm going to be able to walk down that aisle without crying or fainting." Pastor was a veteran of weddings, a seasoned veteran, and he said, "I have something that I think will help you. When you begin your walk, just remember this three-point formula. First of all, when you're standing in the back of the church, just look down at the aisle. And then as you come up the aisle and you get about halfway down the aisle, look up and just stare at the altar. And then finally, when you're just about to the front, look at your groom. First the aisle, then the altar, and then him." And everything went beautifully. The bride was so composed, you couldn't tell that she was nervous at all. She looked so confident as she marched down that aisle during her wedding march. But the people were surprised to hear her rhythmically repeat, "Aisle, altar, him, aisle, altar, him, aisle, altar, him." Well, the truth is, most brides don't have a whole lot of luck in altering their husbands. But the good news of the Christian faith is that God can alter us. Amen? Amen. God can alter us. He can change us to be the kind of people that He wants us to be. And He's coming back for a bride someday, a glorious bride, without spot or wrinkle or blemish. A blood-washed throne, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, Jesus told a story about a wedding, not from the vantage point of the bridegroom, but of the 10 young maidens who were invited to this happy occasion. 5 of them were foolish, Jesus said, and 5 of them were wise. Why were the foolish ones considered foolish? They weren't prepared. They didn't have the oil. The measure of their wisdom was really, in a word, readiness. Their readiness to be a part of this great event. All of the young women had oil in their lamps when they started out. But only 5 brought an additional supply with them in case they ran out. Now, this whole idea is foreign to our concept of weddings. Weddings in our society are announced, usually, weeks or months in advance. And these weddings are to take place on a specific day at a certain time. And I don't know if you've ever been to a wedding where it was started a little bit late. You wonder if somebody got cold feet. And everybody starts fidgeting and looking around, anxious to see who's not here to get this thing started. And so people become nervous if a wedding doesn't start on time. But in century Palestine, a wedding could happen any time within a certain amount of days. Several days could be the day of the wedding. But nobody knew exactly when that day would be. Nobody knew exactly when the wedding would take place. The uncertainty of the event caused excitement. And it caused people to be ready at any time for this wedding to take place. See, the bridegroom was hoping to catch some of the bridal party napping. And fairness required that some announcement be made, so just before the big event, a messenger was sent through the streets shouting, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Behold, the bridegroom cometh!" The alert ones then in the wedding party would respond, and those that were not alert, those that were not ready, would be left behind. They would not be able to get in to the wedding ceremony. Now, I think this passage teaches us a number of things, but I want to look at it from the standpoint of that old adage, something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. And so I'm taking some liberties here this morning. First of all, something old, something old. The thing that was old here was the oil in their lamps, the original oil that they had in the lamps when they left because the oil had run out. When it came time for the wedding, when the bridegroom came, when he finally showed up, they had no oil in their lamps. Their oil had been used up. The something new was the new oil that had not yet been put in the lamps of those that were wise. they had new oil with them. And I think this speaks to us of the necessity for the filling and the refilling of the oil of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That command to be filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing command. We need to be filled and we need to keep on being filled. Do you know the secret to overcoming burnout? It's really a fresh supply of oil. A fresh supply, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yesterday's oil goes rancid and goes bad. But the new oil, the oil that the Holy Spirit has for us today, that fresh anointing oil is what we all need to crave in our lives. The something borrowed, that's where I want to focus the majority of this message on this morning. The something that wanted to be borrowed. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, verse 8. But the wise answered, saying, not so. You can't borrow ours, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. We're afraid that we don't have enough, so we can't borrow some to you. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to buy some for yourselves. People want to borrow things, and I borrow things all the time. I hope I return those things I borrowed. If I have something of yours today and I have not returned it to you, forgive me. But you know, there are some things that cannot be borrowed. There are just some things in life that you cannot borrow. A man or woman cannot borrow a relationship with God. A man or woman cannot borrow a relationship with Jesus Christ. They must possess it. They must possess this relationship. How many of you have seen that new TV show? I don't know what it's called, but it's where people desire to be millionaires. And they come and they're asked a question. And if they answer that question right, they get $1 million, right? Is that basically how it goes? I haven't seen it, but I heard a lot about it. Now, let's be honest. How many of you have seen that show? Come on. All right. You sit there like you don't know what I'm talking about this morning. What makes that show so exciting? The money? Wish I could have that $1 million. The what? The correct answers. That's it. I think we like to test our knowledge. There's something fun about that, testing our knowledge up against what other people know. And to sit there and think, well, you know, if I'd have been on that show, I could have had that $1 million. So we like to test our knowledge. Well, I found in the scriptures a divine quiz. I wanted to share this with you today. Unfortunately, I do not have $1 million to give to you. But let's see if we can answer it just for fun. Haggai was one of the 12 minor prophets. He wrote during the time of Judah's return to the land after a 70-year captivity. A group was called back for the purpose of rebuilding the temple. That was the express purpose. The altar was rebuilt and the important sacrifices were reinstated. The foundation for a new temple was laid, and then the work stopped. But through the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah, the work once again started on the temple. Now God tells Haggai to ask the priests questions for interpretations of the law. Here's our question. This is the $1 million question. Are you ready? Everybody take a deep breath. All right. If a man is carrying a piece of holy flesh, meat, sacrificed on the altar, and accidentally touches bread, food, wine, or oil with his garment, will this make the thing touched unholy? In other words, if a man has a holy sacrifice, he has something holy, he has something clean, and that holy thing touches something that is profane, that is unholy, that is unclean, can the unclean thing make the holy thing unclean? Oh, I worded that wrong. Can the holy thing make the unclean thing holy? Can the holy thing make the unclean thing holy? The answer is
No. An unholy thing could not be made holy when it touched a holy thing. Leviticus 24:4 explained that a man who is unclean is not to eat of the holy sacrifice. If that holy sacrifice cannot make a man clean, it cannot make anything else clean either. Here's the point. My thought is this. Hanging around Christians will not make you a Christian. You're an unholy person. Hanging around holy people, hanging around Christians, will not make you a Christian. Being raised in a Christian family will not make you a Christian. Attending church Sunday morning, Sunday night, even Wednesday nights will not make you a Christian. Now, I believe that being around Christians and being around church will influence you, but it will not make you a Christian. Every person has to decide that for himself. You cannot borrow a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot be grandfathered. You've heard that term. You cannot be grandfathered into the kingdom of God. Every person has to have a relationship personally with Jesus Christ in order to make it. You cannot borrow your salvation from somebody else. A man or woman cannot borrow the Holy Spirit. They must be filled with it for themselves. They couldn't borrow the oil. They couldn't borrow the oil here, which represented the Holy Spirit. They had to have their own supply. I want you to know today that every single one of you are in a spiritual battle. And if you operate in the flesh, if you operate without the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, but you're helpless. Like the song, Stand Up for Jesus says, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by what? You that know it. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. John the Baptist and both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were said to be filled or made strong or mighty in the Spirit. And upon Jesus, it said the Spirit was poured out without measure. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been the disciples of Jesus, to have been there at the same time that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John? Can you just imagine what that would have been like to have been around such powerful men of God? And yet the Scripture tells us that we can be greater than John the Baptist. Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. God desires to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. He desires to pour out His Spirit upon us today. Peter said, this promises to you, to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as our Lord our God shall call. You cannot borrow the Holy Spirit from somebody else. You must be filled with it yourself. But the good news is that the Lord loves to fill His people with His presence and with His power. Another thing a man or woman cannot borrow is wisdom. They must be seekers of it. Yeah, you can ask people for counsel sometimes, but you know, you get in those situations where you have to make a decision. And you cannot really borrow wisdom. You must be a seeker of it. Heavenly wisdom is viewing life from God's viewpoint. It is seeing through the lenses of God's Word. It's knowing what principles to put into practice at what times in our lives. Applying what principles and where and in what situations. You know, it was said of Daniel and his three friends that they were skillful, that they were skilled in wisdom. Wisdom is what caused them to ask for and give an appeal when they were told to eat the meat of the king's table and to drink his wine. They knew they couldn't do that according to their upbringing and according to their heritage. And so they designed this creative alternative. And you know, that alternative not only saved their lives, but it gave them high positions in the land of Babylon. You know that if you have wisdom, there will be a place for you. There will be a place for you. This world is sorely lacking in heavenly wisdom. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. But godly wisdom is something that is to be desired. And people will seek you out. People will find you, and there will always be a place for you if you have heavenly wisdom. A man or woman cannot borrow character. They must be clothed with it. You cannot borrow character. You must be clothed with it. Revelation tells us that they overcame in one way by the word of their testimony. Some people are defeated by Satan because they do not have a testimony. They don't have a testimony of a consistent life. They don't have a consistent testimony. And Satan defeats them. But one of the ways we overcome him is by the word of our testimony, living a godly life, having a good testimony of us. 1 Peter 2:5 says, For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I like that verse. It is the will of God for you to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How many think we have a lot of foolish people out there in the world speaking today? It's God's will. It's God's desire to put them, to stop their mouths, to stop their foolishness. And he will do it through his people who are filled with his spirit, who are filled with his wisdom. Those that have a testimony of character and what the Lord can do in somebody's life. You know what I'm saying here today? I'm saying this. I'm saying that purity will usually win over impurity. I'm saying that humility will silence pride. Kindness overcomes criticism. Love conquers hate. Gentleness is a weapon against harshness. A soft answer turns away wrath. Meekness is more powerful than anger. Satan would have us believe that it's the other way around. I'll only get people to listen to me if I explode, if I totally lose my cool and become angry. No, the Bible says meekness, which is not weakness. Meekness is a quiet strength, but his strength under control is more powerful than anger. I found an interesting passage of Scripture in Exodus 31. It said, And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. If you're trying to follow along, it's verses 1 through 5. Exodus 31. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. But it says, God has called by name Bezalel. Now, how many of you believe that every word of God, every word in the Bible is important? I do. I think every word, not one jot or tittle, will disappear from the law until all be fulfilled. So it's all very important here. And yet, hear the words by name. They seem extra here. They seem like filled. There doesn't seem to be any purpose in saying, I've called by name Bezalel. Why didn't he just say, I've called Bezalel? Why did he have to say, I called by name Bezalel? Well, I don't know for sure, but I have a hunch. And I think that by using those two words by name, God is telling us why this man was appointed to head this construction project. He was chosen because of his name. He was chosen because of his good name, which he had earned for himself. He was chosen to be a leader because of his outstanding character. You know, just like wisdom will make room for you, your character will make room for you. There will always be a place for people who have outstanding character. There will always be a place for them. Solomon says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. One meaning of riches is good oil. A good name is rather to be chosen than a good oil. You know, the fragrance of a good oil can only spread its aroma a short distance, while a good name carries. A good name carries from one world to the other. A fragrant oil only lasts for a while, but a good name lasts for generations. I put some cologne on this morning. You probably won't even smell it on me by the time I'm done. It's good, but it only lasts for a while. But a name will outlive us. Good oil can only be acquired by the rich. Oil can benefit one when he is alive, but a good name is beneficial to anyone, even after a person leaves this world. Good oil can be destroyed by the elements. Well, a good name is indestructible. Choose a good name. Choose a good name. Some of these things are obviously related to our passage, that being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with wisdom. But I would like to just add on character here as well. You cannot borrow character. You must be clothed with it yourself. Finally, something blue. Something blue. Verses 10 through 12, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now we have to think of blue as in the fact that they were sad. Okay, that's not the color blue this morning, but they were sad. They were blue. They were down in the dumps because they had been left behind. Jesus is telling us this simple parable of the tragedy of the unprepared life. That we are at all times to be prepared, for no one knows the day or the hour. My friends, the best way to get ready for tomorrow is to be ready today. A time will come when no further preparation is necessary. A time will come when no further preparation is even possible. The Lord could come for you. He could call you home. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your life ready to meet God? It's a question that we all have to answer. It's a question that is right before us. We must answer it. It's a question that nobody else can answer for us. It's a question that we ourselves have to answer. It is between us and God, nobody else. Just like we can't borrow certain things, we can't depend on other people to tell us whether we are ready or not. Only our own heart, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, lets us know that we are not ready, or gives us the assurance that we are. A Jewish father was concerned about his son straying from the Jewish faith. So he's 1 year from his bar mitzvah. He realized he was sorely lacking in his knowledge of Jewish faith, and so he sent him to Israel, hoping as a remedy to experience his heritage. A year later, this son returned home, thanked his father for the trip, and said, Father, I have to confess, I converted to Christianity. Oh, vey, the father replied, what am I going to do? So in the tradition of the patriarchs, he went to his best friend and he said, my son, I sent him to Israel and he has returned a Christian. The Jewish father said, amazing that you should come to me, because I too sent my son to Israel and he came back a Christian. And so to continue in the way of the patriarchs, these two fathers went to the rabbi. And they said, Rabbi, we have sent our sons to Israel in hopes that they would gain an appreciation and a deeper knowledge for their Jewish faith, but alas, they have come back as Christians. The rabbi said, amazing that you should come to me, for I too sent my son to Israel, and he also came back a Christian. And so these three said, we've got to pray. And so they fell on their knees and they began to cry out, Almighty God, what are we going to do? All of a sudden, the sky opened up the clouds broke apart, and a voice from heaven said, "Amazing that you should come to me." "For I too have sent my son to Israel." And you know what? Jesus Christ is coming back too. He came to this earth not only once, he's coming again. The question of the hour, the question of the hour is this: are you ready for his return? If the trumpet were to sound and the voice of the archangel would say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, behold, the bridegroom cometh," is there oil in your lamps today? Are you ready for the marriage feast? Are you ready for the wedding? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I wonder if there is anybody here, first of all. You realize this morning that you cannot borrow a relationship with God. You have to have that relationship on a personal level. It has to be your relationship with Him. Maybe you're here today and you're a young person. Maybe just a little too old for children's church. I don't know. But maybe you've just been depending upon your mom and dad. And you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You've never had that personal relationship with Him. He's been your mom and dad's God. But He hasn't really been yours. Is there anybody here today? "Pastor, would you pray for me? I need a relationship with Jesus Christ." Maybe you're not a child. Maybe you're an older person here today. I'm not going to embarrass you today. I'm not even going to call you up to the front. I would just like to pray for you. Anybody here? Just by an uplifted hand. "Pastor, would you pray for me? I need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have that. There has never been a point in time in my life when I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior." At that moment, the Holy Spirit would have come into you. There would be oil in your lamp. There would be the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't have to worry about being left behind. You don't have to worry about missing the wedding. Anybody here? Real quickly, raise your hand. "Pastor, pray for me." Amen. Thanks for that hand. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I'm not going to ask for hands on the other things. You know if you need an update on the Holy Spirit, if you need some fresh oil. You know what your character is like. Maybe there's some things that you're ashamed of. Well, the Lord can take care of those things for you. As we said a couple weeks ago, He can turn potential defeats into His victories. Or maybe you're here today and you're facing a situation that you need wisdom for. My God says that we need to ask of Him and He'll pour out His wisdom liberally. We are to be searchers of it, though. We're to be seekers. Just like we would dig for treasure, dig for gold, we're to dig for wisdom. On the nuggets of truth and the nuggets of wisdom God will bring to the top, that we could possess them to make the right decisions in life. Father, we thank You for the something new. We thank You for the new relationship, the new creation that we are in Christ. We thank You, Lord, that we don't have to borrow some of these things. We don't have to borrow a relationship with You, but we possess it. You give it. Lord, we don't have to borrow somebody else's wisdom, but You give it. And You give it liberally. And You don't hold back. For those that need wisdom today, Lord, I pray that You would implant that wisdom. That, Lord, You would either give them a word of wisdom this morning, or that as they go through and they search the Scriptures and they see through Your eyes and through Your lenses, that they would receive the wisdom that they need.
And Lord, we pray that you would lead us in paths of righteousness. Lord, that you would lead us to godly character for your name's sake. Hallowed be your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the men please come? We want to pass out the communion emblems today. Again, let me repeat what I usually say every month. You don't need to be a member of this church to partake of communion. The only thing we ask is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, then we invite you to partake of communion with us. Only ask that you refrain from taking until everyone has been served. And then after a time of prayer and scripture reading, we will all partake together. God bless you, men. Go ahead and hand it out. Apostle Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" I want to pray over the communion service this morning, and then we've also been asked to pray for Greg and Lisa Lath, be Ernie and Della's nephew and his wife. She is pregnant and due a month from now, but she's in the hospital with high blood pressure and having some problems and talking about taking the baby early. So let's pray that God's hand would be in that situation. And this might be a little unorthodox, but how many else would have a prayer request that you'd like us to remember during this communion service? Rodney? Unspoken? Okay. George? Okay. All right, George isn't feeling well. Anybody else? Rich? Daughter and son-in-law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are our Father. And Lord, we thank you today that we can call you Abba. We can call you Father. Lord, we realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father which is in heaven. And so we recognize these gifts today and we want to thank you for them. And Lord, we want to pray for those who are in need of our prayer today. Lord, during this communion service that you would hear and that you would answer prayer. We pray for Lisa, Lord, in the hospital. Lord, that you would just regulate her body, that everything would begin to function normally, that she would function holy and healthy. Lord, we pray for the protection of this baby. Lord, that you would just send your protection to, it would not be upset by what the mother's body is doing. But Lord, that you would keep it safe and the baby would be born in your time. Lord, we know that Satan is always after the godly seed. And so we pray your protection upon this seed. Oh Lord, we pray for George today and ask that you would touch him and heal him. Lord, and for others that are fighting and battling colds, this time of the year it's so easy to do. Just touch and heal him. Andrew with his ear infection, Lord, take it away. We pray for Rodney's unspoken request, whatever it may be. Lord, we pray that you would hear and that you would answer. Lord, for you know the cries of the heart, or the cry of the heart speaks very loudly in your ears. And Lord, we pray that you would perform in this situation. And for Rich and Nancy's daughter and son-in-law, Lord, we pray that you would be with them and that, Lord, you would draw them, first of all, to you. Lord, that the relationship with Jesus Christ would become stronger. And then, Lord, we pray that as that relationship with you deepens, Lord, that their relationship with each other would deepen. Lord, help them to learn to love and to grow in love. And Lord, sometimes that's very sacrificial. But Lord, help them to learn those lessons early in their marriage. Lord, that their marriage could be something that would be certainly blessed from heaven and would be used to minister to others. Any other requests here today, we pray, Lord, that you would hear, that you would undertake. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it. It's been broken for you. So this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Rex, would you ask the blessing upon the bread here this morning?
Precious Jesus, just thank you for your life, your love that you've shown upon us all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just pray for the people here, Lord, that eat this bread, that they remember you and that you died for us and you gave your life for us, Lord Jesus. And through you and trusting you, Lord, we are all here.
Amen.
Precious name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let's partake together.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." If you would just let your minds reflect on some of those hymns and choruses we sang at the beginning of this service. His blood, like a mighty flowing stream, reaches every single one of us. Praise his name. Rich, would you ask the blessing on the cup?
Jesus, we do thank you for shedding your blood.
Yes.
You did it because you loved us, and you knew, Father, that it would cleanse us of all of our sins. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank
Jesus.
You that through the shedding of your blood, that we can be in right standing, we can be forgiven, we can be set free. Thank you for that,
thank
Jesus.
Yes.
In his name we pray.
Amen.
Let's drink together.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, precious. Precious blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for your healing. Hallelujah. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spilled out for broken humanity, for lost humanity. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may it continue to reach and to change lives. May it continue to cleanse and heal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you would pass your cups to the center, the men will pick them up. Thank you. Let's stand and be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this service, and also pray now your blessing upon the food and fellowship downstairs. And be with those that leave immediately and those that linger for fellowship as they leave here today. May each one go with a song in their heart, knowing that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.